Seated. Good morning, everyone. Isn't it lovely to know that we come to church to worship God our Father, God the Holy Son, and God the Holy Spirit? And it is the Holy Spirit that helps us and guides us through life, through the circumstances of life, what it brings to us. And so often, it's the Holy Spirit we need to call upon to teach us how to pray. The disciples, knowing that they would see Jesus go off to pray alone, had an example set before them. They saw Jesus praying. They noticed it made a difference to their lives. An essential difference to the life of Christ, as it brought him into that place of knowing God even more fully, of being able to share with others all that is needful. And as Jesus showed to his example to the disciples the importance of prayer, it's something that we need to learn too. In the reading today, we heard about Mary and what God wanted for his mum. We've been studying John's Gospel over the last few weeks. A gospel of Jesus that talks about relationship. A relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Relationships with other people. But it talks about how we are to put those into practice in our daily lives. It talks of the Holy Spirit giving us all that we need to be good friends with others. As Jesus said, we are to love one another. I am your friend, and you are to be a friend to others, true friends. And so as he hangs there on the cross, he looks at his beloved disciple, a true friend, one whom he loves deeply, and one he knows also loves him. For relationship is a two-way affair. This is a lovely relationship between them both. He also looks at his mother. I think that in looking at his mother, he also remembered what a good mum she was. How she'd been faithful to God. She was beloved of God so much so that he gave her that privilege, but also that responsibility to be the mother of his child. And Jesus knew that his mother had been faithful to what God had given her to do. In those days, and I would think also today, in those Jewish families, it's usually the mother's responsibility when the children are young to bring them up in the faith, to lead by example. And I think that Mary would have done that very much as a mother, that she would have been a good example of how to live out a life of faith. A life of faith which also included using the gift of prayer. And I say it's a gift of prayer because I believe that God gives us that gift in order for us to communicate with him. In prayer, we are to come as we are. We don't need long words. In fact, we don't need words at all. It's very hard sometimes to actually pray to God. I know that many people in the last 30 years, as I've been a Christian, I've heard people say, Well, it's such a difficult thing to do, pray. I get distracted. Well, you know what? I think Jesus got distracted too. When he was in the desert, how often was he distracted? He'd gone there to pray and to fast. He found himself being tempted. Tempted far more than we're tempted. But he still prayed. He came out of that desert to go into his ministry. And I think that's an essential lesson for us to learn today, that as we go to our places of prayer, whether we have the words to say or not, we are in the presence of God. We are taking time out to be in his presence, to sit and to wait on our Lord. And it is difficult. I know in the Beeson Project, where we've been for weeks and weeks now, too many weeks I care to remember really, just praying that God would lead us in how to carry out this Beeson Project. Because the Beeson Project is there to help others, but to help others essentially in the way that God calls us to help. And we can only start up that Beeson Project when there are certain things in place, and we are to pray, not to seek out answers to our own prayers, but to wait on God for him to put the right people in the right places, to respond at the right times. So we've had to learn how to wait and how we have struggled. It isn't easy to wait on the Lord. We're in an age where we rush around. We're so busy that we've forgotten how to just sit and be still. Many years ago, when I was a young Christian, I know there was a book about prayer. Well, lots of books about prayer. But one of them was written by a man who was called Bill Hybels. I think that's how you pronounce it. Maybe not. And it says, "Too busy not to pray." Bill realised it was essential that if he was to do the things of God, he needed to give God time in his life, to get to know him. Why get to know him? Because as we get to know God, we actually get to know that we can trust in him. That's what many of the Psalms are about, aren't they? David cries out to God so often in his Psalms, but he trusts that God is going to answer his prayer. And so we're going to look at Psalm 27, a psalm I chose for today, but it's actually in our lectionary for today as well. This Psalm 27 is really in three parts. The first part, we hear of David talking. He's just talking. I don't know if he's talking to himself or he's actually talking to others. But he's talking about God. That's what he does from verses 1 to 6. He talks about the God he knows. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation." Well, if he is, whom should I fear? No one. "The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Well, no one. "When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it's they shall stumble and fall." And even when he's in the most dire of circumstances, as often he was, he says, "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident." He has such confidence in God. And then he tells us something. He tells us something of what he's asked God for. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Here we see how important the temple is to David's life. Actually coming to worship God, to hear about God, to pray with others, to just be in God's presence, even if you don't hear a word that's going on in the service. Just to be in the temple of God was enough. The place where he could behold, really take hold in his heart, the God whom he loved. And whilst there, to inquire of God. David was a humble man. He became a king, but he was still a humble man because he knew where he would get his answers from, where he could find guidance and help from God himself as he inquired in his temple. Not just asking God to show himself to him, but to be inquiring, to be talking with others about God, how they saw God, to make those discussions, to make his mind work and to think more and more clearly. And then he turns and says, Why does he do all these things? Because he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me on a high rock. I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Isn't that a wonderful thought? That we can come and sing and make melody to our God. But then it changes. This psalm changes because suddenly, probably thinking about all these things, the things that he's spoken about, it takes him into a position of prayer. He actually begins to pray between verses 7 and 12. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I do seek. And so he keeps on praying. And when we come to the end, it then changes in the last two verses again, because it seems as though he's accepting that what he's asked for has already been achieved. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the hand of the living. And so he calls for us to persevere. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. A pattern of prayer, perhaps, for us to follow. Another pattern of prayer that you might think about to help you in prayer comes from the word artist. Adoration, prayers of adoration, repentance, thanksgiving, intercession, supplication, but to end in trust. To end your prayers in trust, just as David did. Jesus trusted in God. When he said his prayer, called out to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he knew he was facing the cross, he cried out in prayer because He really didn't fancy taking that road. I don't think anyone would. But he said, "Yet, not my will, but yours." He was willing to accept the road God had set before him. And that's the place that we need to come to too. To accept the road that he puts before us. As many of you know, at the end of each service every week, we offer prayers. The prayer ministry team goes in that back corner to pray with other people. And we know that we've had answers to those prayers. And we know we need to be able to pray for others in the world. But I don't know about you, sometimes I find it so hard to pray in circumstances that seem so dire. I don't have the words to pray. And if you're in circumstances where you feel that you need someone to just come along and help you in prayer, that's what the prayer ministry team is for. And next Sunday evening, we've put a service together on prayer with the title, "Earth Has No Sorrow That Heaven Can't Heal." So I'd encourage you to come along to that service if you feel that it'll be of value to you, to come in time of quiet and praise and adoration, but also to come for prayer. So we don't always know what to pray or even how to pray. But at all times and in all places, we are to come with an honest heart, to just come and pray as we can, not as we can't. Bishop Michael Ramsay said that praying for others is coming to God with those we care for in our hearts. And that's all you need to do sometimes. When you don't know what to pray for a friend who's in trouble, hold them in your hearts and just bring them into the Father's presence. And so I'm going to end in a prayer that's from this little book that's called Prayers of Trust. Lord, create me anew. Lord, there are times as I take a moment out of a life's busy routine and look deep within myself that I suddenly grow aware of the potential void within. A deep darkness, an emptiness, an abyss of sin. In such moments, I realize how much I need you, Lord, how I need your love, how precious you are, how I can't really live without you, how desperate I am not to wander from your presence. Hover over the darkness within me. Sweep like a wind over the waters of the waste. Bring light to this empty void. Create me anew. Come, create a spirit. Come. Amen.